to Speak to the Devil. We're here with Hayden and Colin again. I'm Aiden. And we're back after a bit of an extended hiatus because of like midterms and stuff.
It's been hot, man.
Yeah, it's been a weird couple of weeks. But don't you worry, your favorite podcasters are back.
I feel out of the loop right now.
Yeah.
Not doing podcasting after a little while. It's weird. It's weird
yeah,
to get,
it feels
back,
weird
to
get
yeah.
back into it for sure.
It's definitely weird.
Today we're talking about mid-90s, Jonah Hill's indie movie about skateboarding and the 90s, of course. It was released in October of 2018. It's rated R for, quote, pervasive language, sexual content, drug and alcohol use, some violent behavior, and disturbing images, all involving minors. It's in the movie, no one in the skateboarding crew is over 17.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's
Let me tell you, there's a lot of wild
yeah,
stuff
very,
in this
very
movie.
Interesting,
yeah.
Yeah, scenes for sure.
Stuff happens.
The movie's 85 minutes long, an hour and 25 minutes. Really short.
Yeah.
Like, anything under 2 hours is considered short now, but I think this is especially short.
Yeah, we'll talk
tomatoes,
about that.
Gave it a 76%, and AV Club rated it a B. We're going to start with our ratings. Colin, what do you think?
Yeah, am I always going to be the one starting off these ratings?
Yep.
Send it.
Okay, so it's been a while since we watched this. We watched it before midterms when we were going to record it like 2 weeks ago or something like that. So, and I just did my ratings right now. Production value. I'm saying production value of this podcast right now. Not the best. No, it's fine though. So I gave the production value of the movie a 9 out of 10 because this was a lot of these ratings are really like really difficult for me because it's kind of like this movie. I feel like how do I describe this? You either like this movie or you're not a big fan of it because it's independent.
It's polarizing.
It's an independent film, and a lot of times those movies are not like, I don't know.
They're not made to like pander to a wide audience.
Exactly. It's usually made for like specific audiences. Mm-hmm. But I honestly thought the production value was very, very good in this movie because the director Jonah Hill. This is his first time directing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was very specific about how he wanted this movie to look, and because, you know, the movie's called Mid-90s, it takes place in the mid-90s, so they really set up the scenario, the setting for it to take place in the mid-90s. It just works very well, and, you know,
He had that personal connection, too, because he almost experienced this when he was younger.
Yeah.
A little left out.
Except he's way worse at skating.
Yeah, he admits that in a lot of interviews, that he was terrible at skating.
This is a skateboarding movie, in case we didn't... Did we cover that?
Yeah, I think I said that.
Okay, because I can't remember if you said that. Just want to clarify that. Storytelling. This is where... I wouldn't say you dropped the ball, but like it wasn't... Definitely wasn't the strong suit of the movie. I gave it a 7 out of 10. The ending, I did not... I mean, it's not that I didn't like the ending. It was just... It felt unsatisfying. And the build-up was very good with all the characters, the developments. But then, like, the farther the movie went, the more I was just kind of like, wait, what's happening? I don't understand where this is going anymore. Because, like, the character development was so good at the beginning. Like, Sonny building a relationship with all these people. You know, he was a lonely kid before. And it just... I don't know, it just felt very off, but he still did a good job. The characters were very charismatic, so I still enjoyed my time watching the movie anyway. So I gave it the storytelling 7 out of 10. And the cast, 8 out of 10. The cast, for the most part, very, very good actors and actresses. I don't even know why I gave it an 8 out of 10. It just seemed like it seemed to fit.
Yeah.
Because there could have been more, I feel like.
I think part of it, and something that I felt when I was making my rating, was that the rating sort of reflected it to be like this incredible movie, but I just didn't feel that way. So I tried my best to reflect like what I really felt about the movie, and I guess I'll talk about that now since I already kind of started.
So I got a 24 out of 30, which is an 80 for this movie.
Okay.
Good stuff. All right.
So
for production, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I was really impressed with A24's production and like how well they made this movie, especially because they're a fairly small production company, which I want to talk about later because I think their story is very interesting. The attention to detail in this movie is incredible. Like, everything is like, it really feels like a time capsule of the 90s. Like it really is, it's just very well done to make it seem like it could be a movie made in the 90s, yeah. Except for the fact that it's called mid-90s. No movie now would be called the late 2010s.
Yes.
So that's kind of weird.
That would be very weird.
But yeah, the production, the soundtrack was great. Hayden earlier was talking about a song they used that was from a popular skate segment.
Yeah, Mouse, which is a skate part by Girl Skateboards. But a lot of the skaters could connect to that in the movie because they've heard it before. It was an older skate part.
I think that's like a really interesting detail and something that like Jonah Hill wouldn't know to put in the movie unless he himself was a skater. I think he thought about this soundtrack a lot, and he said in interviews that he didn't spend any money licensing music. He asked creators if they would be willing to let their music be used in the film. And then for storytelling, I gave it a 6 out of 10, sort of to balance out my rating, because I just didn't think the storytelling was that great. I thought the characters were very interesting, and like there was like very interesting dynamics between all of the characters, like between the mother and Stevie, and between Stevie and his brother, and between the mother and Ian, who's Stevie's brother, and then like the list goes on with pretty much everybody in the skate crew also. And I thought there was so much interesting, so many interesting relationships, but the story just didn't make use of how interesting those dynamics were to the best that it could. Yeah. And I just thought,
I feel like there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, there's so much potential, and then there's so much buildup in this movie, and then the car crash happens, and it's just like, boom, it's done. It's like, I feel like you really, another movie would have kept going, but like this movie is only 85 minutes, and so I think if you make this a 2-hour movie, a 2-hour and 10 movie, you get a lot more. Mm-hmm. And then for casting, I give it a 10 out of 10. I love this concept that Jonah Hill had where he wanted to turn skaters into actors, because I think that added a lot of authenticity to the movie. And also, none of them did a bad job, I didn't think.
Yeah.
Like they were very relatable and like real. I still think Nicole Smith, who plays Ray, is like the coolest person ever, like in this movie and outside of the movie. And then for the people that weren't skaters, Sonny Sujay, he's kind of both because he's a pro skater, but he's also been in two other movies.
Yeah.
And then the mom, whose name is Catherine Watterson, she's a pretty decorated actress. She's 38, not a skateboarder. She's been in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Logan Lucky, Inherent Vice, Michael Clayton, and a bunch of other movies. And then I thought one of the best like choices that Jonah Hill made regarding acting was Lucas Hedges, who plays Ian, Steve's brother. He's a phenomenal actor, also not a skater. But he's been in some great movies, even though he's only 22.
Yeah, it's crazy the stuff he's been in.
Yeah, he's been in Boy Erased, Manchester by the Sea, Lady Bird, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, and The Grand Budapest Hotel, among others. And like, not only has he been in a bunch of movies, he's also been in a bunch of really good movies.
Yeah. Little shout out to him. Vanity Fair did a video on him explaining some of the characters in his movies. It's really interesting if you're looking for a video to watch about him.
Yeah, and so I just thought the casting was super well done, so I gave, I think I said a 10 out of 10 already, which makes my overall rating a 26 out of 30, or 87%, which is a B+.
Before Hayden starts, I've decided to bump my cast rating up by 1 point, because yeah.
I'm glad I was able to persuade
you. Yeah,
him.
I know, I don't like having somebody else decide, like, I guess persuading is the right word there. But, like, honestly, it's just you were right. It just kind of worked. I'm not going to give it a 10 out of 10 because I still, sometimes I feel like a cast needs to wow me to give it a 10 out of 10. And for me, this movie, it just worked for the casting. Of course, you know, I wouldn't know any better on who could possibly be better actors for each character. But sometimes I just, I can't describe it. I just, there's that specific set of actors that just work perfectly with some movies. But it didn't really, I guess that's why I gave it an 8 out of 10 before, because it didn't really resonate with me. But the more I think about it, the more fitting these, the cast seems to be as a whole. So that gives it a 25 out of 30 instead of a 24 out of 30, which is what, again, sir?
25 out of 30 is an 83, which is a B, I think.
B minus.
I don't know. Yeah.
So I'll get into my ratings now. So production, obviously, I'm giving this a 10 out of 10. It looks like it was straight from the 90s, which is crazy. Like, I don't know how you put that much detail into one film and spend that much time, like, just mapping every little thing out, even, like, the cars, the stores. Like, every little thing was perfect. So I think for what it was really perfect. But I think a lot of people might not understand that it doesn't look like old or, like, think it's, like, a weird movie. Like, people actually think it's old because of the aspect ratio it's shot in, the camera it was shot on. Like, it's shot, just, like, it's so cool that...
Shot in 4:3, which
is,
4:3
aspect ratio.
Something from the 90s.
Yeah.
That really don't really use anymore.
So that's a 10.
There really isn't any movie like that anymore.
So for storytelling, I gave it an 8 because, although I thought it was, like, really interesting throughout, and there's a lot of, like, really cool personal connections to Jonah Hill and, like, a lot of skaters and a lot of skate culture, and there was no nostalgia porn or skate porn, which is really cool because it wasn't just like, oh, look at this trick. It wasn't like, oh, look at who was president then. It was, like, integrated throughout.
Right.
So I gave that an 8 out of 10, but the reason I gave it an 8 out of 10 is because the ending, like, let's be honest here, I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't think Aiden liked it. I don't think Colin liked
it. I didn't like it.
It just left me wanting more, which I guess is what a movie's supposed to do, but, like, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I don't think you get enjoyment out of watching a movie just because it ends where you don't want it to end.
While we're talking about the ending, one thing that I thought was ridiculous was, so they're in the hotel room in fourth grade showing the movie that he finished, and it's called Mid-90s. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what, like...
Didn't he say it was something about a baby, too?
Oh, yeah, little baby productions.
Little baby productions,
that was,
what it was.
That was Ryder's...
Ryder's
is the actual guy's name. I mean, fourth grade's...
Fourth grade
company, and that's production. A callback to something earlier.
Fourth grade is a character. Sorry.
He's interesting.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah.
Fourth grade is a character. It's not a concept that we're talking about.
He's played by Ryder. So then for cast, I gave that a 9 out of 10 because I thought he had a balance of not only people that knew skateboarding, so were really able to be knowledgeable about it, but also that were very good actors. And I just found it really interesting how different some of the people are from their actual personalities. But, like, one of the characters, FS, I can't say his actual name.
Olin,
yeah, his real name. But he's, I feel like that's what he's like in real life. Like, he really is like that. Like, what I perceive in the movie is, like, every interview I've ever watched them, that's just how his personality is. He's, like, all over the place. He's an awesome guy. Like, but then Sonny Sujay is, like, he seems so much more put together in real life than he is in the movie. And I think it's cool about how some of them are almost playing their characters. And Ryder, who seems like an idiot in the film, but he's actually a very mature person. So my overall rating would be a 27 out of 30, which is a 90.
Not bad. So wait, what does that average out to? We haven't done the math for that.
Let's see. You had an 83.
Yeah.
I had an 86. And you had a 90.
Is that just 86?
We will see, Colin.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I had an 87, didn't I? Yeah, because it rounded
up.
Yeah.
Excuse us for a moment.
Yeah, I'm bad with calculators. It's an 87.
Hey, look at that.
That's my rating.
like I just said.
Yeah, my bad, guys. All right. You want to talk about some of our favorite scenes?
Sure. It's been a while since we've seen this. I can't talk. It's been a while since we've seen this movie.
I'll start with mine to refresh you guys a little bit. Without a doubt, my favorite scene was when, after Stevie, like, gets in that fight with his mom, he goes skating with Ray. Like, all day, and then they sleep in the skate park, and I thought that was an awesome scene. It starts with this quote, which I think is pretty universal and I loved. It goes,
a lot of the time, we feel like our lives are the worst, but I think if you looked in anybody else's closet, you wouldn't trade your shit for their shit.
And that's said by Ray, played by Nicole Smith, and I just, like, I love that quote.
Yeah, it really,
yeah,
just, I don't even know how to
it
describe it.
It sums up a lot
it
of things.
Works mm-hmm. with everybody. That quote is universal.
Yeah, and I thought that was a great scene, and I loved the music, too. And then my other favorite scene was the skate jam, where Ray is, he's, like, talking to some pros, and, like, there's just so much going on in that scene, and there's so much, like, drama and, like, tension, and I just thought, like, the writing and, like, the story of that scene was, like, very interesting.
It was really good build-up to mm-hmm. the car crash
right.
scene.
Yeah.
Right before then. It just, like, I don't know, the insecurity that kept building, the, like, internal collapse, is that the right
yeah.
word for
yeah.
it? Their relationships right. and the group, you know?
You knew something was happening.
Yeah, something was going to happen very soon.
One of the scenes I found very funny, but also, like, a really good start to the movie was the opening scene where it's down the hallway and it's like the slow Ken Burns and then his brother just shoves him into the wall
yes.
and
I actually takes love that too.
Oh, that was such a good start of the movie. Like, oh, it was so good.
It was good characterization.
Yeah.
It was
super good. Set the scene, not only started the movie interesting, but
it tells you a lot
yeah.
about the relationship between them.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even have, those were my favorite scenes, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for stealing my scenes.
Yeah, I thought the relationship between Stevie and Ian was, like, really interesting, and I don't know.
Which one is Ian again? I'm sorry.
Ian's his older brother.
Oh, right.
Lucas Hedges. And I just thought
right.
that was, like, very reflective of, like, a lot of relationships between siblings, maybe not to that extreme,
mm-hmm.
but where it's, like,
it worked.
Kind of adversarial. You know, sibling
yeah.
rivalry to, like, another level.
He's a good actor, too, for the part.
Yeah,
like.
He was great. And I thought there was, like, a lot to unpack with both those characters, where they're kind of, like, lonely in a way. Obviously, Stevie finds this group, but before that, they were kind of, like, similar. The only difference between them was that one was older and one was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see after Ian, like, gets harassed by Olin, like, while he's walking down the street.
Yeah.
That he's, like, kind of a loser.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool scene, too.
Yeah.
And then later, there's a callback where he's like, oh, I would have taken your friend if I was, I'm just alone.
Yeah.
And it's like such...
it's like,
yeah.
okay.
I mean, there's a lot in this movie where it leaves you to, like, self-interpret, I guess, if that makes sense. There's
yeah.
a lot of, like, just 5-second silences.
Speaking of that, do you know what we should talk about? Orange juice.
Orange juice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I don't know what Jonah Hill was thinking. I'm sure there's some symbolism there. But Lucas Hedges' character, Ian, has a very interesting relationship with orange juice. He's kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And so...
we still haven't found out what the...
We don't know what orange juice is supposed to symbolize, but he drinks it. Throughout the movie, he's, like, kind of addicted to it. And then in Stevie and Ian's big fight, right before, like, the climax, Stevie runs to the fridge and takes the jug of orange juice out of the fridge and, like, holds it while he's getting, like, the crap beat out
yeah.
of him. And then later, when he's in the hospital,
after
the car crash, they're both drinking orange juice. And so
yeah.
it's like, come on, that's gotta mean something.
There's
yeah.
something there.
But yeah, if you have any,
maybe we're just crazy.
Anything
crazy
to add, you know?
Yeah.
Respond on like the Devil Nation News or not
Devil Nation News.
Devil Advocate Twitter, tweet at us at Devil's Advocate. Got it.
But just going back to like characters, I really think like there could have been so much more, like, because the relationships built were so good between these characters.
If the movie was just longer.
Yeah, exactly. If the movie was
yeah.
longer, there's so much left untouched after there was like good build up. Like the reason why I was just like, who's he in, is because I thought you were talking about the other kid, the other younger kid.
Ruben,
right.
I hated him.
Yeah, and, like, I thought there was going to be some kind of, like, between him and Sonny,
yeah.
because it started off like
They had a feud where Ruben was kind of, like, telling Stevie when Stevie first joins this friend group, Ruben was giving him a lot of bad advice because, like, that was what Ruben believed. But Stevie just was himself, and, like, the group liked him better for that.
Yeah.
And I think there's, like, a lot to be said about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then they never really did anything after that.
Yeah.
They showed signs of jealousy
from
Ruben.
They fight at the skate jam, but then after the car crash, everything's okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not really how
it got resolved so easily, yeah.
So...
Which, I mean, sometimes...
It was kind of lazy.
Yeah, it felt lazy.
With the car crash just resolving everything somehow.
Well, that's the problem with a lot of different characters. You just, like, there's not a lot
to balance. It's hard to resolve all the stories with just one event.
Yeah, and there's so many, like... I think I honestly enjoyed watching every single character. I'm not even going to lie. I honestly enjoyed every character. But there's just, like, when there's too much, it just doesn't mesh well together.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I want to talk about, since we're talking about how long the movie is, I want to talk about A24 a little bit. Who created this film with Jonah Hill? Because their whole thing, being this independent production and distribution company, is that they don't really like interfere with like a creator's artistic vision. A24 doesn't really mess around with an artist's artistic vision. Instead, they kind of just let them create.
That's important, especially
with
independent
films. It's super
important.
And it creates a movie like this where the kind of like the intent is very clear. Like you can tell this is one person's artistic vision being like...
It was his passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a passion.
You can tell this is Jonah Hill's movie.
How long did he say he worked on this for, too?
4 years.
I think four years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so writing the script, and you can tell just, like, he cares about it so much. Mm-hmm. And I wonder why 85 minutes. Like, I wonder if that was something with the production company, because obviously A24 movies have, like, much smaller budgets than regular movies. The budget for this movie in particular wasn't disclosed, but according to Slate.com, most of A24's films are between are budgeted between $1 and $20 million, which is like nothing.
Yeah,
it's not at all. Obviously, it helps when I said earlier that Jonah Hill didn't license any music for the film; he all just got the permission. But really. Maybe there was more script to mid-90s that Jonah Hill had written, but
they just
didn't have the money to to make 30 more minutes of movie.
I mean, that's what it felt like. But
yeah, that is good. Well, yeah, that's a good really point. That's what it felt
like. But A24 has made like a lot of movies. In 2013, when they first like started, they had 8 employees, and now they have 50 or so. That was in 2016. They had 50
shift.
Or so employees, but they might even have more by now. They've made a lot of super, like, indie films that are sort of beloved. And interesting fact, their first original film was Moonlight, which won the Academy Award for Best Picture. So it shows some of their successes. And some of their most recent films are Eighth Grade, A Prayer Before Dawn, and The Children Act. Like, although, I don't know if you guys have heard of these films, I haven't heard of all of them. But that's kind of the point of A24, is that their movies, like, aren't for everyone. They're kind of small movies.
Is 8th Grade the one made by Bo Burnham?
I think it is.
Okay.
I heard really good things about it,
but
I haven't seen it.
Good things about that, too.
And then, to support the whole indie release thing, this movie was only debuted on 4 screens. So, in the opening weekend, it made $250,000. But as a whole, the film made $7 million at the box office.
Not bad.
That's crazy.
For an indie release, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about sort of the language, the 90s language that's used in this movie?
Yeah,
it's kind of troublesome. And the movie received a lot of flack for it.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have mentioned this earlier. Yeah, this movie isn't for everybody, and there's some very offensive stuff in here. Which, yeah, we did say it's rated R. But I think we haven't, like, really, what's the word, highlighted this.
Yeah.
There is some not great stuff in here, but it really works with the movie.
I think it's necessary.
Yeah,
it's necessary.
I listened to another interview with him and Ellen where he talked about it.
Yeah,
and he was saying, like, how he was like talking to one of the editors. He was like, oh, there's a scene where he like says something derogatory. Should I leave that in? He's like, yes, absolutely. You have to leave that in. Because that if you're going to go the whole thing and you're going to make sure the trash is from the 90s, I think you should make sure the language is exactly how they talked.
Yeah, you don't want to hold back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's something like
if
this.
You want it to be an accurate representation and make it look like someone found this movie today, they think it's from the 90s, you need to use every bit you can.
Definitely. And so, but it does highlight a lot of problems with like culture in the 90s. And it's like, he's not really denouncing those things, but he's really not supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's trying to show as accurate a representation of the 90s as possible.
Yeah.
And I think he achieved that, even if it takes using some slurs and some derogatory language that just isn't acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most prominent examples of that is the scene at the party where Stevie / Sunburn / Sunny has his first sexual experience.
Yeah.
And like the way he talks about it shows like a pretty fundamental problem with like masculinity.
Yeah.
And like how toxic masculinity buzzword alert. It shows sort of like a problem. But do I think it's bad that that exists? Yes, but that doesn't mean I don't want it in this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very good. This movie did a very good job making us fully aware that this took place.
Well, it's not like they were just trying to use the words to use the words. Exactly. They were trying to use the words to get the story through.
It did not.
And I think that point would not have been there if you weren't allowed to use the words in the movie.
I think that's something that's great about this movie is everything contributes. You know, like there's no useless information. There's no like fat.
Everything's
there's no Grinch playing the orchestra.
Yeah.
Thank God.
It's just completely irrelevant.
That's a callback.
Yeah.
Everything in this movie just felt relevant to the movie.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I've really found it fascinating to see what it was like in the 90s. Like, you know, people say stuff about like Stranger Things or something that took place in the 80s,
yep.
And they say it looks just like the 80s. I feel like this is like
another level.
Yeah, another level. Never seen anything like this before.
Yeah,
definitely. Even
except for, you know, films that were made in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Even like even the way they filmed it,
we talked about
earlier, like filming it on a 16mm camera and like all these things. Like it's really incredible.
I think it's an interesting point of view for all of us too, because we were never.
There.
We didn't even exist in the 90s.
Yeah.
I was born in 2000. You guys were born in 2001.
Well, way to rub it in.
All right.
Okay, we get it, Colin.
I was in 2000 for like 3 days, all right? Don't give me that.
Yeah, but I just, this is a great movie, and I'm really happy for Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
He I said think he went in an interview, he said this. He said about skateboarding, it came into my life when I needed it. And it provided me with the community. And I think that's what this movie sort of is surrounded. Like, the central idea, sort of like the moral of this story, is that sometimes, like, friendships can be more important than family. And I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. And so even if you don't know everything about skateboarding or everything about the 90s, you can relate to this young kid that's trying to find his people.
I think that's what he wanted to, was to not make it like, oh, look at all these skateboard tricks. Oh, look at all this old stuff. The movie looks like it's from the 90s. But to actually make a story that everyone wants to watch.
Mm-hmm. And I think he did that. He balanced sort of these three separate entities of real storytelling, skateboarding movies, and 90s homage.
Yeah, because there were still those connections that every skateboarder was like, oh, I hope they put this. It was there.
Yeah. So, I thought it was great.
Almost knocked over a water bottle there.
Yeah, that could have been bad.
Detrimental.
All right.
Sign out?
Yeah, that's all we got.
So, in the future, Academy Awards, Oscars, I think that's our next task.
Let us know what you thought.
Yeah. If you have any advice,
feedback.
Of course, like
great.
I said, Devil's Advocate.
Bird Box Challenge probably isn't happening.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's all right. Everybody forgot about that movie.
Well, yeah, because Bird Box it died after the first.
But, we'll catch you later.
Catch you.
Adios.
So let's go.
That's why we ride a piece of wood. Like, what that does to somebody's spirit.